The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. The Bible tells us that we won't turn to God because we haven't learned the lesson that our way won't work. But we will during Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation. Notice what God has to say in Isaiah 30, beginning verse 16. And you said, No, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. And it could mean that our problem will be swift coming up on us, as they seem to be right now in 2007, 2008. Verse 16 is telling us that we will continue to try it our way as long as possible, that we won't surrender to God until we have to, until our strength is gone and we have explored every avenue possible except turning to God. Verse 17 continues, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of the mountain and as a banner on a hill. Yes, we will do it our way, is what God is telling us, apart from God, until we are destroyed. But God will step in when he sees our strength is gone and the remnant that's left of Israel have finally repented and save us from annihilation. And the Bible strongly indicates that only 10% of Israel will survive the coming captivity that God has pronounced will happen on the United States and the British people. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. A merciful God is waiting to save his people whenever we will let him. You could allow God that opportunity today by repenting of breaking his laws and turning your back on God's word. But you have to deny self and seek God's way to be protected in the time of Jacob's trouble and from going through the great tribulation. For both are coming, and it seems we have already entered the end time troubles of Jacob, the United States, and the British people. What will you do? The great tribulation of all the earth will follow right on the heel of Jacob's trouble, which will bring the world to the point of annihilation. But the good news is that Christ will return and save man from himself. He will deliver Israel from their enemies and set up the kingdom of God and bring peace to this earth. We are in trouble now as a nation. The whole world is in trouble, and I think you and I are smart enough to figure out why. At least, I hope we are. I hope that we're smart enough to know what to do as well. All our troubles have come upon us and are overtaking or catching up with us because we have forgotten our God. Let me state that again, my friend. All our problems have come up on us and are overtaking or catching up with us because we have forgotten our God, turned our back on God and his law, his word. Now, why has that happened? Why have we forgotten the true God? Let's let God tell us in his own word. In Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 5, it says this, So you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Now, my friends, parents don't chasten their kids, don't correct their kids unless they need it, unless they're breaking the rules of the home. God is the same way. God don't send correction on us because we're living his way. He sends correction on us because we're breaking his laws, because we aren't living his ways. Verse 6, Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. God is telling us, telling our forefathers, ancient Israel, and it means for us today, the United States, the British people, and the rest of Israel, and the whole world if they would listen, the way to live and to have a happy, peaceful, and abundant life. Verse 7, For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. My friends, that has been so true in the United States, hasn't it? We haven't been a hungry nation for food, for water, and so on. Yes, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. God is describing our nation that we have lived in and are living in yet today, because God saw to it that we inherited this good land. And this is part of the birthright blessing that he passed down to Joseph. And Joseph passed them down, or Jacob passed them down, to Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States and the British people. Verse 10, God continues here, says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Eternal your God for the good land which he has given you," meaning you shall be thankful and don't forget God. Well, have we been that way? Have we blessed or been as thankful as we should be to our God in heaven? We have eaten and have been filled and overfilled, not only with physical food, but with many luxuries and pleasures of life. Yet we have forgotten our God. What has caused us to forget our God? Notice going on here in verse 11. "Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, which I command you today." Yes, keeping God's law plays a big part in keeping you in touch with God. As a matter of fact, without keeping God's law, you forget all about God. And that's what God has told us here and is telling us. We need to open our ears, our hearts, and our minds and understand this and begin to live by God's law, by God's statutes and his judgments that he gave ancient Israel, and they were to be passed right on down to our nation now. And if we had obeyed our God, we wouldn't have all the troubles that we have. We would know the true God. God tells us that's how and why we have forgotten and turned our back on our Creator, because we haven't obeyed the laws, the statutes, and judgments that God, and I should say, that Jesus Christ commanded us to obey. Religion has taught the law was done away with, nailed to the cross, and we haven't cared enough to look into the Word of God to prove one way or the other if that is true. I can tell you, my friends, on the authority of Jesus Christ and God the Father, that Christ did not do away with the law, and Christ, the God that wrote the law with his own finger, gave the law to Moses 2 times because Moses broke the first tablets. Jesus Christ was the one that taught Adam and Eve. He instructed Moses as how to build the ark and commanded him to do so. The one that became Jesus Christ was a spokesman of the Old Testament. Now I'm just bringing this fact out because many think that God the Father is a harsh and cruel God and Christ is just a meek little lamb that has done it all for you and doesn't demand that you do anything except believe. You need to understand what Christ meant when he said, "My Father and I are one." What did he mean, my friends? We're going to answer that question. Notice in John 10, verse 30, where Christ made this statement, "I and my Father are one." This is a very powerful statement. What did Christ mean? Did he mean there's only one being in the Godhead or the God family or the God kingdom? Not at all. Christ was saying that he and God the Father have the same mindset, same attitude set, and the same character set. Yes, set in them, that they will not deviate from. They think alike. They act alike. Both have holy, righteous, spiritual character. Christ didn't come to destroy what God the Father stands for or for what Christ stood for in the Old Testament. Christ said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law, but to fulfill." But you know, we think that Christ came to destroy the law, keep the law for us, or nail it to the cross so we wouldn't have to do anything but believe. What a slam that is to Almighty God. God the Father and Jesus Christ, who was the God of the Old Testament, stand for the same thing. They stand for truth, justice, and divine law, righteousness, holiness, fairness, peace, and the way of give, love, and concern. God has commanded you and me to stand for the same things. You might want to ask yourself, what do I stand for? What is my attitude? What is my mindset? What is my character like? Whose mind, attitude, and character have I put on? You may want to ask yourself these questions, my friends. My friends, the world as a whole has taken the mind, attitude, and character of the destroyer, Satan, the devil. And God says that's the way that has led and will continue to lead to troubles, problems, and death to the point of annihilating all life from this earth. Notice what Christ had to say in Matthew 24, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Christ is speaking of the end of Satan's rule and the end of man trying to govern himself in the way that seems right to him, trying to govern himself apart from God. You may have a hard time believing that man, enticed and swayed by Satan, could bring the earth to the point of annihilation. But all life from this earth would be annihilated if Christ didn't return at that very split second that he's going to return. Christ said in his word that all life would be annihilated unless he returned at a certain time. Verse 22 continues, And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Christ is speaking of the very end time, the very end of Satan's rule, the very end of Jacob's trouble, and the very end of the great tribulation. My friends, you should be thankful for the elect, meaning there are people now and will be people at the time that Christ returns, living by the word of Christ, obeying his word and laws, which he spoke and inspired to be spoken and recorded and preserved in the Old and in the New Testaments. For God the Father will send Jesus Christ back to this earth to take control and save man and other forms of life from annihilation. And it will be at the right time to save the elect, his church, his body. You could be one of them, as God has said, that he is waiting. And he is waiting to intervene in your life right now, if you will let him. Notice Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 again. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. That is, those that seek to live by God's way. Yes, God is waiting for the time that his chosen people Israel, and that includes the United States and the British people, to wake up, repent, and turn to God, and for the whole world to do that, for that matter. Christ could be waiting for you right now. What will you do? Will you answer the call from God and receive his mercy and grace and trust him to save you through those tough times just around the corner? We have a couple of articles that you would enjoy reading, and they're free for the asking. All you need to do is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, and request, What do you mean, repent, and why does mankind suffer? Or just ask for the Articles 207. We'll know what you mean, in case you forget the name of those articles. Just ask for the Articles 207. You may email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com and request those articles as well. Or you can log on to our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org. So call us, my friends, and ask for those articles. Call the Marble Hill Church of God, 238-3675. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today. Have a good day, my friend, and may God help you to understand his word and to begin to live by it.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.